beside Odin.
And what do you see when you watch, Giant's son?
I see many things, Gala's god. And they amuse me. I see Lord Susanna Onomikoto, a storm god, like your son, a lone member of his ancient pantheon. He drinks rice wine and eats raw fish. I see Anubis, jackal-headed god of the dead of the Nile Delta, feasting upon human hearts. Or upon the dreams of human hearts, perhaps. The fairy woman eats the petals of flowers. I wonder why she's here, what she's thinking about. And I wonder what she would be like between the sheets. Yeah, it's been 1,200 years since I did that as well. I watched the demon contingent. Yeah? There is a peculiar flirtation occurring between Corazon and the Merkin Mother of Spiders. Watch.
Corazon, the punk demon with two mouths, uses his top mouth to eat bread, while his bottom mouth drains a goblet of wine. Sitting next to him is the Merkin, the Mother of Spiders. Corazon's hand fondles her upper thigh. She stabs the back of the roving hand with a fork.
Does that hurt, darling?
Oh, yes.
At the opposite end of the table, the genie is tipping a plate of food into his master's box.
I watch the Lord of Order, his form that of order made manifest, an empty receptacle. And, like all of us, Lord Kilderkin of Order is here for hell.
Little Book of Glory! Yum!
I watch the Princess of Chaos, incarnate as a tiny child. I watch the servants. Sleeping humans shanghaied into a most peculiar dream in which they serve a gaggle of beings from the depths of their collective unconscious, a meal fit for the gods. I watch the angels. They do not eat, or flirt, or converse. They observe. I watch them in awe, oh Father, they are so beautiful and distant. The feet of angels never touch the base earth, not even in dreams. I can read nothing from their faces, much as I try. And what they are thinking, I cannot even imagine.
Duma and Remiel are sexless, perfect. Two almost identical beings of pure light and substance. Their wings, huge and impressive, folded behind them, they stand in the air 20 feet above everyone else, watching impassively.
Is everything to your liking, Lord Odin?
Very much so. You're a fine host, Dreamweaver.
There is a matter we must discuss. You have something I need. And I have in my possession something you might want. Come closer. I would talk with you.
I see. After the banquet, wait in your room. I will send a flame to guide you to me, and we can talk then. There will be an entertainment at the conclusion of this meal, Lord Odin. I trust you will enjoy it.
As Morpheus walks back towards the dais, upon which his table is set, he notes that the cat god, Bust, is finding it increasingly difficult to ignore her over-persistent admirer.
Ah, come on, Missy Pussy. You and me, eh? Just one little kiss. Just one little feel. And maybe after that...
Thor! Behave!
Heed your father, Thunder God. My claws are sharp.
So what's this extra inducement Lord Azazel is going to offer Morpheus to make him give us back our lands? My sweet.
Later, precious. In my bedroom.
near the table of demons, where Coronzon and the Merkin eat and fondle each other, the dreamers who have been serving food and drink finally pass close by each other.
Who are you? I know I've seen you before. What's your name?
Please, I have to serve this food.
Ow!
I warned you.
You didn't have to do that. I had to take a no for an answer. Women. I'm a god. They don't care. You're just like Seth. You're just like all the rest of them.
Leave me be, or I'll lay open the other side of your ugly face.
Ugly?
The red plush velvet curtains of a small theatre stage, which moments ago did not exist, part to reveal footlights illuminating a casket on trestles.
Lords, ladies, gods, demons, princesses, and cardboard boxes, presenting the amazing Kane and Gregory. Quiet, Gregory, that wasn't your cue.
Kane's brother Abel's feet protrude from one end of a casket on the stage, his head from the other.
Hey, what about me?
Shut up. The stooge doesn't get credit.
With Abel!
Will you shut up?
Kane walks out onto the stage dressed in classical magician's gear, a black top hat, black cloak, and tuxedo. He's brandishing a large saw.
Good evening. I am the amazing Kane, master of mystery and illusion. And this is my glamorous assistant, Gregory.
Gregory the Gargoyle, large, green, scaly, like a pocket-sized dragon, lumbers onto the stage. He wears a spangled frock.
Thank you, Gregory. My first trick I call sawing a fat ninny in half.
Kane, I don't want it to do it.
Now, don't wriggle this time, booby brains. The saw's pretty blunt, so it might take a while. Ladies and gentlemen, I will proceed to saw my brother in half.
As Kane begins to saw at the wooden box, Lord Susano Ono Mikoto beckons Morpheus, who is passing through the tables, back to his seat.
Yes, Lord?
It might come to pass that one could discuss certain matters with his venerable wisdom, the Shaper of Dreams, in a private place.
That would honor this person greatly, Lord Susano Ono Mikoto.
Morpheus turns to move off, only to find before him a human-sized rip in space, filled with eyes and teeth. It is the demon Azazel.
I, too, require a private audience with you.
Yes, very well, Azazel. I see no reason why we should not talk privately. I will send for you later. Yes, Princess Jemmy. Very amusing.
I have to talk to you, Mr. Dreamer, and it's top secret. So sit down, and I'll whisper.
No, not here. I will send a flame to lead you to my apartments, Princess.
Sire!
Yes, Genie.
Sire, my munificent master, Kilderkin of Order, here incarnated for our delight as a most sacred cardboard box, has manifested a message to be given only to you. We must talk. That is his message.
Very well. Bring your master to me later. I will send for you both.
Ta-da! My brother has been sawn in half. Wheel back that end of the box, Gregory. Show his innards. Now, my little trolley ogler, Can you wiggle your right foot for the nice people?
Kane, you really can't put me back together again, can't you?
Now, where is that brother of mine?
I tire of this nonsense, Lady Merkin. What is this inducement which will secure what we want from the Lord of Dreams?
Oh, Lord Corinson, the answer to that question is not here.
Oh.
You must come to my bedchamber.
Oh, there's no time like now. Shall we?
I think we shall.
Where's his head?
That's what I'm asking you, little girl.
I tell you, the drunken oaf proposed to make love to me.
As host, I can but apologize, Lady Bast. You are obviously provoked, and I will speak to Lord Odin about it. Where is Thornar?
I left him laying under the table, chanting some song to himself. It began, "My hammer has a huge, hard handle." Lasalt was also trying to wipe his vomit from the carpet with his beard.
Again, lady, I apologize.
It is no matter, Dream Lord. That was not why I wished to talk with you.
No? Then why?
We must talk in private. You have something that we want. Very badly. And we have something you desire.
Very well. Later. I will send for you, Lady Bast.
And what's in the empty box? Bless my soul, it isn't empty. It's got Abel's severed head inside it.
Jane!
Look! It's Mr. Shouty! Oh, he's a pooey man!
You...
Shut up. You said you wanted to be in show business, didn't you? And for my next trick, Gregory, the mincing machine, please.
No!
The demons Corazon and the Merkin enter her apartment in the Dream Palace. They stop in the middle of the room, peeling off each other's clothes, kissing each newly revealed erogenous zone. An intensely private moment of pleasure for them. It would be a disgusting sight for an unprepared visitor to stumble in on. But they are not going to be disturbed. The Merkin has made sure of that. Coronson's hand is resting on the Merkin's buttock. Her white evening dress has ridden up, exposing her thigh with its garter belt and white stockings. Their bodies are pressing together. Coronzon nuzzles and licks her neck with his two mouths. His eyes are closed, lost in an erotic dream world, all pink vanilla-scented flesh and white silk. He does not see the black spiders that had begun to crawl down her thighs. First one, then two, then tens, then hundreds. A river of arachnids, the children of the Merkin, the mother of spiders. He does not realize that the whole of her lower half and much of his is covered with spiders. They leave a silver tracery of web in their wake as they crawl rapidly up his dress shirt, weaving a shimmering layer of spider silk. As his ability to move diminishes, Coronzon opens his eyes.
What is this? No! No!
His mouth is gagged by a skein of web. He takes a step back in horror, trips and falls to his knees. Within seconds, he is wrapped like a mummy, just one terrified eye left uncovered. He peers out, up at the Merkin.
Mm-hmm.
A procession of spiders crawls along the floor, away from the webbed demon, back to their mother and up her legs. She looks down at the helpless creature, trapped in the mass of webbing on the floor.
You asked what the other prize was, didn't you? What else our Lord Azazel was going to offer the Dream King in exchange for hell? Well, it must be obvious now, my darling. It's you.
And we end up with... Hand them to me, Gregory. A string of able sausages. Anyone for a second helping? Thank you, everyone, from myself, my assistant, and the stooge. I'm the amazing Kane. If you enjoyed the show, tell your friends. If you didn't, I trust you'll get throat cancer and die without ever again uttering another word. Good night.
Good guests, good guests. That concludes this evening's entertainment and the banquet.
Didn't Mr. Shouty really be sausages?
We have a long day ahead of us tomorrow. I will hear your formal pleadings, and I will announce my decision. The time has come to go to the quarters I have assigned to you. I hope you all will find them to your liking. I suggest you leave this room at this time. It will cease to exist shortly. Good night. I shall see you all in the Great Hall tomorrow morn.
Please, don't go. I still don't even know your name.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. It's my doorbell, I think.
But... Oh, shit. The alarm.
The apartments of Dream's guests are luxurious and the beds comfortable. But few sleep this night. Lord Susano Onomikoto stands in contemplation of his mission as he waits for a summons. The Egyptian gods, Anubis, Bast, and Bes, share a room. The lights are dim. This does not inconvenience them. They're used to the darkness of tombs. Princess Jemmy sits on a child's bed, holding a rag doll. She's sucking her thumb. The genie of the box stands in the gloom, holding his precious charge. The box itself does nothing. The demon Azazel hovers in the air. A wisp of darkness full of eyes and teeth. All the mouths are grinning. Thor has all but passed out. Sprawled on the floor of the Norse god's apartment, looking like a beached walrus, Loki sits on him. Odin paces, plotting.
But you are the master of deception, Loki.
I've told you already, we cannot hope to trick him. Not here. The best we can do is negotiate. And we have something he must want. He'll negotiate.
Come.
What's that?
He said he would send a flame.
Oh,
it is time. He wishes to see me.
That's show-off. There's nothing special about doing flames. Everything is flames. That's it, me. I'm the lightning, me. That's bloody hard, lightning.
Morpheus sits on the stone chair, mounted on a dais in the center of his throne room. A small candelabra hangs from the ceiling, the only illumination, casting shadows downwards, lighting the walls in shades of orange and yellow. Morpheus has changed out of his finery. Now he wears a black t-shirt, jeans, and boots. On the arm of the stone chair is a silver goblet. In front of him stands Cluracan, the emissary of Faerie.
After all, you have always been a good friend to our people.
I will deliberate upon it. Go. Follow the flame back to your quarters.
Yes, Lord Shaper.
Enter.
I thank you for agreeing to see me, Dreamweaver.
The pleasure is all mine, Rune Lord. I regret our discussion must needs be brief. I have much to do this night.
Some others to see, I'd hazard.
Perhaps. We have no time for nice words, Odin One Eye. You wish me to grant you the hell that once was Lucifer's? I have not decided what to do with the place. Tell me then, why should it be yours?
I am a brave god. You know that to be true. There is only one thing that frightens me.
Ragnarok.
Indeed, Ragnarok. These days, too much of my time is spent hatching schemes to circumvent the darkness ahead of me and mine. I pick at it irrationally as a man picks at a sore. Some years ago, it occurred to me that it is easier to fight something one knows something about. I created a world, a notional dimension, and in it I fashioned a tiny Ragnarok.
Odin pulls an object out of the inside pocket of his coat. It's a small glass ball, perhaps reminiscent of a snow globe, but perfectly spherical. It glitters in the half-light.
In this tiny world, the last battle is fought, day in, day out, forever. I have learned much from it. One thing that surprised me, though, was when my little world gained further warriors, ones I had not created.
Morpheus can see tiny clouds in the globe and tiny figures battling among the clouds.
I do not know how they got there, nor why they fight, these little mortal heroes, but look, they war alongside my wee Aesir in the battle unending.
Morpheus looks more closely at the globe. There are frost giants battling Odin's forces, but also there are other tiny figures swooping in and out of the action. They are members of the Justice Society of America from humankind's 1940s. There is Hawkman, Starman, Dr. Midnight, and Wildcat. They belong to an age when Morpheus was a prisoner, sealed inside a crystal cage in an English cellar, but he knows who they are well enough.
And this will interest you, Dreamweaver. One of these interlopers has some of your essence in him. He is a vessel for a fraction of your soul. Were you to grant me the hell that was Lucifer's as my domain, I would give him to you. There.
Morpheus sees a figure in a gas mask, fedora, and green cloak. He recognizes Wesley Dodds, the 1940s crime fighter who, for lack of anyone else to assume the role in those years, called himself the Sandman.
I see.
You're a cool one, Morpheus. Sometimes I think you could almost be one of the Aesir.
I am myself, Odin One Eye.
And?
And I keep my own counsel. I will give my decision tomorrow to all of you. There is nothing more to be said. This flame will guide you directly back to your rooms, Lord Odin. Do not stray off the path. I cannot guarantee your safety elsewhere in the palace, and it would grieve me to see you harmed.
I'm touched.
Enter.
Dreamy man, it is I, Princess Jemmy of Chaos.
Yeah, I know.
We want hell. We want somewhere to play. Give it!
And what exactly are you offering me, then?
You misunderstand me, Dream King. I'm not offering you anything! What I'm doing!
Jenny grows from a tiny little girl to a towering, grotesque creature of nightmare.
what I'm doing is threatening you. Give us the hell of Lucifer, Morpheus, or the entire host of Chaos will be at your throat until the end of time. From the Shivering Brigade to the Laughing Dancers, all of us.
Stop that this instant.
Huh?
Stop it. Stop it this instant. Is this meant to impress me, Jemmy? Is it meant to scare me?
That's right. You're meant to be Mr. Scared.
I am not scared.
You can have my balloon if you like.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow, Mr. Dreamy.
Yes.
I bring my master in answer to your summons, O Great One.
Approach, genie.
Now, O Sultan of Sleep, reach your lily-white hand into my master, Lord Kinderkin of Order, and take the message there for you.
Read it to me.
Your wish is my command. My dear Dream, for many years now, myself and some of my fellow Lords of Order have been collecting the dream essences of the newly dead for the purposes of their own. We are prepared to return these to you in exchange for the Hell of Lucifer, which will become a new realm of perfect order under our dominion. Kilderkin.
And this is supposed to impress me. I am sorry, but I fail to understand why I should be interested in the dream stuff of dead mortals. I am no collector, forever treasuring and tabulating that which has no further use.
But my master, my wondrous master, he offers you...
something that I would have collected for myself had I a use for it. But I see he has another message for me. After all, he can speak for himself.
Indeed, O Serene Host, as you can see. Very well, Morpheus. If bribery will not work, reason might. Tomorrow, I shall plead the rightness of our claim. Perhaps that will convince you. That will be all. We shall leave you until tomorrow.
Aye, perhaps. Enter, O Honored One.
As the Lord Susano Ono Mikoto enters, the decor of the Lord of Dreams' quarters subtly changes to become more Japanese. Even the shape of Morpheus's face alters to reflect that of his guest.
It should perhaps be mentioned that this one is here as a private individual. One has not come as part of his pantheon.
I understand. You may talk freely.
It is good. The gods of Nippon are very powerful. We are no longer worshipped as once we were, but we have adopted. Times have changed, and we have changed with them. We are expanding, assimilating other pantheons, later gods, new altars and icons. Marilyn Monroe is ours now, as a King Kong and Lady Liberty. My mother is queen of our own underworld. That is a most efficient place. Lucifer's hell should be ours too. It has much potential. Name your price. Whatever it is, we will pay it.
The matter will be given my most careful consideration. Honored Susano Ono Mikoto.
I bid you good night.
Please, and...
The room is now decorated with Egyptian frescoes and hieroglyphs. The cat goddess pads silently to Morpheus's throne. He remains human, but his eyes have become large and cat-like. The pupils a slits of starlight.
Lady Best.
I have something you want.
And that thing is?
Information. I see the world through the eyes of cats. There are things that are hidden from humans and gods that cannot be hidden from my people, Dream King. I know where your brother can be found.
I see.
I know where he hides. I, and I alone. Wouldn't that be worth the price of the Hell of Lucifer to you and your family, Dream?
Perhaps.
I much prefer you in cat form, Dream, old friend. When you wear a human head, I find it so hard to know what you are thinking.
I am thinking that this meeting is at an end, Lady Best. Please return to your apartment and do not wander from the path as you return.
I am a cat. I walk by myself.
Matthew, what are you doing here?
Hi, boss. Lucien sent me up. I was talking to these two ravens, Hugin and Moon, and telling them the story of my life. Nice guys.
Matthew, please.
Oops. Sorry, Chief. Not a good time for small talk, huh? Anyway. We got a problem. There's a thunderstorm broken out in the suites downstairs. Rain, lightning, wind, all that stuff.
That will be Thor. One moment. There.
My hammer's not working.
It is dealt with.
I'm not gonna kill that bloody cat.
Neat.
Now leave me, Matthew. The last of my surreptitious ambassadors is on its way to talk to me. And to cajole, or threaten, or bribe.
Okay, boss. Nice balloon you got there.
If you like it, Matthew, it is yours.
Huh?
Here, take it.
What will I do with a balloon? Thanks.
I am here.
It is the rip in space filled with eyes and teeth that is one of the former rulers, the Triumvirate of Hell.
Azazel, welcome. State your peace.
I seek the return of our lands, Morpheus. The lands of my people. The lands from which we have been unjustly expelled. I do not come to you as a mere ambassador, but as the representative of the whole of demonkind. Poor, dispossessed creatures whose homeland has been ripped from them. I seek natural justice, Morpheus. Give us back our world.
Save the speech-making for other times, Azazel. It leaves me unmoved. You want the hell that was Lucifer's. I cannot suppose that you came here relying on my good nature or my sense of natural justice. What are you offering me, Azazel?
Not one thing, but two, Dream Lord. Firstly, you came to Hell 2 years ago to retrieve your helmet. It was in the possession of one Corinzon, a Duke of the Eighth Circle and a captain of Beelzebub's hordes. Insolently, Corinzon challenged you, and you defeated him in the oldest game.
A vision of Corinzon, bound in spider's webs, appears in the air between them.
I brought him to the dream world just for you, Morpheus. He is helpless. He can be yours to take vengeance on. You can leave him screaming for an eternity.
I see. And the second thing?
That's nothing very much. Just a human female, condemned to hell 10,000 years past by a resentful lover.
Kaikul.
You have nada.
Kaikul! Help me!
Nada!
Nada, the African queen, whom Morpheus loved but could not persuade to become his consort. The human woman he condemned to hell for her obstinacy. She floats in a vision between them, bound with barbed wire, helpless, an expression of pain and suffering in her face, her eyes looking straight at Morpheus.
Tycoon!
But isn't she a sweet and toothsome morsel? If you give me the key to hell, I'll throw her into the deal as a sweetener, you might say. If we cannot come to an agreement, though, unlikely as that prospect must be, I will take great pleasure in consuming her soul. I will gobble her up and gulp her down and make her a part of me forever. What tiny spark of her consciousness still remains after that will be mine. Do you understand me?
I do.
So I trust we have a deal, Dreamlord. Tomorrow you will make your announcement, and I will quit this place, carrying with me the key to hell, and leaving you with Corazon and Nada.
Thank you, Azazel. I will take the matter under consideration. You may leave now.
What do you mean, take the matter under consideration? You want the girl, don't you? You went to hell for her. Surely you'll trade her for a key that cost you nothing, that you don't even want.
Azazel, you have told me what you are offering me. I have understood you. You will hear my decision tomorrow. Now, go.
Morpheus reaches into his robe and pulls out Lucifer's gift to him. The key to hell, with its pitted blade and sharp, thorn-like teeth. He ponders.
Of course, it's not just a favor we'd be asking. There is much that fairy can offer you.
One of these interlopers has some of your essence in him. He is a vessel for a fraction of your soul.
Give us the hell of Lucifer, Morpheus, or the entire host of Chaos will be at your throat until the end of time.
Name your price. Whatever it is, we will pay it.
I know where your brother can be found.
If we cannot come to an agreement, though, unlikely as that prospect must be, I will take great pleasure in consuming her soul.
With his mind preoccupied, Dream's fingers loosen. He drops the key. Morpheus picks the key up, examining it for damage, with a look of torment on his face. He has no idea what to do.
If only it were that easy, if I could just throw it away. I cannot. I wonder what the morrow will bring.
Morning comes to Dream's castle. A gentle breeze stirs the surface of the lake, rippling the reflection of its towers and pinnacles.
Good morning, pretty sister. Our host has finally seen fit to let the sun rise. A bright new day has dawned.
Lord Chlorican of Faerie, thin, with a lopsided grin, shirt undone, leggings askew, stands in the doorway of Nula's bedchamber. One hand holds a bottle of wine, while the other clutches a shaven-headed Egyptian, wearing only jewelry and a loincloth, looking like a fugitive from 3000 BC. He snuggles in close to Chlorican.
I'm still gloriously drunk on this magnificent wine and a night ill spent with this lovely lad. He's with the Egyptian delegation, a temple priest or a dead king or something. Isn't he gorgeous? Senefru, this is my sister Nula. Nula, meet Senefru.
Clurican, get out of my bedchamber.
And now we've only come by to tell you that Lord Shaper is about to announce what he's planning to do with his new realm. Oh, so get a frock on, little sister, and come and hear the good word.
Do you think he'll accede to our wishes? That he'll keep hell empty and forgive us the tithe?
Not a hope. There's too many big boys leaning on him. You saw them all last night. Personally, I figure the best I can hope to get out of these shenanigans is excellent wine and great sex. See you down there.
And all I get out of it was a good night's sleep, I suppose. Oh, well. So much for being a gift.
The Sandman, Act 2, Episode 7.
Season of Mists, Chapter 6, in which the vexing question of the sovereignty of Hell is finally settled to the satisfaction of some. The finer points of hospitality, and in which it is demonstrated that while some may fall, others are pushed. Nula dresses herself in a filmy gown with a silver circlet around her hair. There is a flower in the vase by her bedroom wall, a beautiful exotic orchid. She eats the flower petals, carefully, picking them off with her fingers.
They're gathering already.
If he does give us the hell of Lucifer, then he obliges us to keep our word.
Undoubtedly he would do so, my lady.
Bast and Anubis.
Nula moves to the doorway of her chamber. The delegations pass on their way to the great hall.
If it came to that, I would simply have to admit that I did not know exactly where his brother is now. But I do possess certain facts.
We must hope they are enough for the Dream Lord. Otherwise, good day, fairy child.
Good day, Lord Anubis. Lady Bast.
And to you.
Two more supplicants for the key to Hell pass, a traditionally robed and hatted wizard and a man with no face. Nula does not recognize them.
Surprised not to see a representative from the Greek gods here. Perhaps they know something my people do not.
It's all internal politics, old friend. It leaves no room for travel, but if you ask me...
Good day, sirs.
But hush, we are overheard.
Whatever isn't enough... A small fragment of his soul.
Odin, in his hat and cloak, looks worried, preoccupied.
Oh, I should have disguised myself, swindled the hell of Lucifer from Dreamers, I swindled Cavassier's blood from the dwarves.
Please, Odin Varadr, speak more quietly.
Thor looks terrible. He has a thundering hangover, quite literally. About a foot above his head hangs a small rain cloud. Loki looks thoughtful, until he notices Nula. Walking over, he grins at her with his scarred mouth.
Hello, fairy woman. What are you doing after the main event? My name's Loki.
Trickstar!
Blizzard!
For the last time, you are only permitted to talk to me or to Lord Odin. Or else, I'll splinter every bone in your body with my bare hands. You are not... thrusted. And I'm in a really foul mood this morning.
Excuse me, lords.
Nula, come in. Everybody's here. And I do mean everybody.
The Great Hall of Dreams Castle is decorated with rich frescoes under an ornate vaulted ceiling. Chlorican leads Nula into a throng of wondrous and exotic faces. She sees Princess Jemmy of Chaos in her clown makeup. Nearby, the demons Azazel and the Merkin stand silently, watchfully, but there is no Coronzon with them. She sees the genie of the box, Thor, Odin, and Loki, who winks at her, Lord Susano Ono Mikoto, and Anubis, Bess, and Bast.
Well, where is he?
All await the arrival of their host, the Lord of Dreams, and his decision as to which of them shall be the future rulers of Hell. But Morpheus is still in his chamber, high in the tallest tower of his castle. Morpheus stands beside an arched window. He looks haggard. His clothes have not been refreshed. His servant, Matthew the Raven, arrives to perch on the windowsill.
You look like you haven't slept a wink all night.
I don't sleep, Matthew.
I didn't say you did. I just said that was what you look like. Busy night, huh?
I spent the first half of it talking with a few of our visitors, and I spent the second half thinking.
Don't know who should take over Hell.
They all want it. I don't. I never thought that disposing of the unwanted could be so hard. Everything keeps shifting and changing, Matthew. It's like treading a path through mist.
Dream.
The angels Remiel and Duma are suddenly hovering in a corner of the room.
Leave us, Matthew.
Sure, boss. Good luck.
Remiel, Duma, how goes your observation?
It goes. We have observed much and have reported all we have seen back to our creator. Have you reached your decision?
I have come to no decision, Angel. Many of them have offered me things I want or need. It is hard. Perhaps I should accede to the fairy's wishes and leave Hell empty. It serves no good purpose.
I have a message for you.
Very well, Remiel. What is it?
I do not know. Wait. Yes. Yes. I will relay the message. It is from my creator. There must be a hell. There must be a place for the demons, a place for the damned. Hell is heaven's reflection. It is heaven's shadow. They define each other. Reward and punishment, hope and despair. There must be a hell, for without hell, heaven has no meaning. And thus, hell must be... No!
Remiel?
No! No, he cannot wish that. That is wrong. We have done nothing to offend the name, nothing that could warrant this.
What is it, Remiel? What are you saying?
I am saying... I have been told to say that hell cannot be entrusted to other than those who serve the name directly. It is too important that myself and Duma are to take over hell.
What?
That it will be under our control as representatives of the name, and that we can never return to the Silver City. We can never again enter the presence.
But this is neither fair nor just. We have done nothing to be cast out. We have never rebelled. We fought bravely side by side against the armies of Lucifer. We are of the host. Does he not understand what this means? To be exiled into the darkness, to be banished from our Creator's light, his grace. We are too pure for our feet to ever touch the base clay. Why, then, should we be forced into the pit? This is wrong. We cannot. We must not
Hell is for the evil. Hell is for those who have offended against his love. Hell is for... I will rebel. Like Lucifer, I will protest. This is wrong.
But how can I rebel? Where could I go if I did?
Duma?
Duma, the silent angel, has descended to stand beside Dream on the floor of the tower room. The angel's eyes are wet with tears.
Lord, Lord, let this burden pass from me. Your will is too harsh. Choose another.
Duma, watching and weeping, extends a hand towards Morpheus, who pulls the key to hell from his pocket.
If you want the key, Duma, it is yours.
Duma nods slowly. Dream hands the key over.
And you, Remiel? What will you do?
What can I do? I cannot allow my fellow angel to drink from the cup that I have refused. I will go with Duma. I will go to hell.
You have my sympathies. Let us tell the others.
Nidhogg Construct, and I feel terrible.
If you don't hold your stupid tongue, Thunder God, then once I rule hell, I shall not rest until your tongue hangs from a hook on the wall of my throne room.
You rule hell? The hell of Lucifer will be ours, Azazel. And you and your kind will be left to snuffle in the outer darkness, like ghouls vainly searching for a buried tomb in the desert sands.
Hell is mine, Anubis Doghead, and all of you will suffer for your temerity.
I had assumed you would have waited for me to make my announcement before electing yourselves lords of hell. I see I was wrong. Thank you for waiting! I apologize for the delay, but then I am sure none of you would have wished me to rush into a decision. Order and chaos. Egypt and Asgard. Fairy, Demonkind, and Nippon. Each of you have come to me. Each of you have asked me for a favor.
Enough babbling, Dreamer. Give me the key to hell and be done with it.
Give you the key to hell, Azazel? I cannot do that. I cannot give it to any of you.
What?
Yes!
Why not?
Remiel the Angel will explain.
On the low stage, at the end of the room, floating serenely overhead, behind Morpheus, the two angels have manifested themselves.
Because it is no longer his to dispose of, we have taken back the key. Hell will again be the abode of the damned and the demons. The damned will be returned to hell, and there they will once again be punished. The demons may once more take up residence in hell and will be expected to play their part in the rehabilitation of the damned. The war between heaven and hell is over. Hell is now directly under Heaven's control, and Duma and I will be Heaven's regents in the underworld.
On whose authority?
Whose do you think?
Dreamlord, you are not forced to accede to this!
I did not create the Hell of Lucifer, Lord Susano Onomikoto, nor the realm of which it is a shadow. If its creator wishes to take it back, that is its creator's affair, not mine. I thank you all for coming here, and I trust that although you may be disappointed by my decision, you will understand it. I hope it will cause none of you undue distress.
Cause us distress? Oh, that's a fine one, Morpheus. What about the distress it's going to cause you?
The rip in space that is the demon Azazel advances on Morpheus, each of the mouths in its nothingness grinning maniacally.
I know your rules. You offered us hospitality when we arrived. You can do nothing now to harm any of us. I will leave here as I came. And Nada, your little human sweetheart, will leave here with me. I said I would devour her soul, and I will. Slowly, though, a bite at a time. And with every bite, I will be thinking of you.
Morpheus walks down the steps towards the ragged patch of nothingness. His expression is serious.
Oh, Azazel, I offered hospitality to all my visitors. That includes both those I knew about and those I did not. Yes, you have my hospitality and are under my protection. But so is Corazon, and so is Nada. I will not see them hurt.
If you want her, Dream Squatter, then come and get her. If you've got the balls, I renounce your hospitality.
Very well.
And with those words, Morpheus steps inside the hole in reality that is the demon Azazel. Morpheus floats in the darkness inside Azazel. A void filled with jagged, fanged mouths and eyes which stare at him. Looking neither strong nor powerful, he grips the small leather pouch which hangs at his belt.
I did not believe you would be willing to enter into us, Dreamer.
But I did, Azazel.
Yes, yes, you did. Find them, and release them, and they are yours, and you may leave me freely. Fail, and I will feast on their souls, and on yours.
I understand.
Do you really? Then find them, if you can.
Very well.
Reaching into the pouch, Morpheus casts a handful of dust in front of him. It fans out, glowing and twinkling, casting a nebula trail which drifts towards one of the larger mouths hanging half open nearby. The dust circles it, glowing. Morpheus climbs into the mouth, through the teeth, as if through a gateway. Inside, bound in one corner, quivering, is the demon Corazon, trapped by the Merkin to be a hostage gift to the Lord of Dreams. Corazon looks sad and lonely, both mouths contorted into expressions of despair.
Sir, it's you. Azazel said it planned to give me to you, for you to torture. I prayed that it was lying, as it often does. But then, I was wrong, as I often am.
Yes, you are.
You have me at your mercy.
I am not here to torture you, Corazon. Take my hand.
Their fingers barely touch, and Corazon vanishes while Dream is back in the void that is the demon.
That's one of them, Azazel.
Indeed.
Now the other.
Morpheus turns to another mouth, hanging nearby. Its sharp teeth are almost closed, but he can dimly see Nada within. Even bound in barbed wire, she is still the African queen he fell in love with. And the Morpheus she sees, prizing open the jaws of her prison, is the Lord of Dreams as her people knew him. Tall, dark-skinned, mysterious.
Kaiku? You?
Morpheus has stepped inside the mouth, which is Nada's cell. It takes every ounce of strength to stop its teeth from closing on him.
I have come to free you, Nada. Touch my hand.
You have come to free me? After all this time? Kaikul, I had given up.
Please, Nada, we have no time to talk. Just touch my hand.
She reaches out her hand. Their fingers brush, and she vanishes.
Azazel! I have freed them both!
Indeed.
Despite his best efforts, the teeth are beginning to close on Morpheus, pushing him to his knees.
I said that you could leave if you freed them, did I not?
Yes. Yes, you did.
The jaw closes inexorably to trap Dream forever. All of the mouths around him are grinning in triumph.
I lied. You are mine now, Dream Lord. Mine to consume at my leisure. And when I've eaten your soul, you... Where are you? Where are you?
Azazel, it was unwise of you to attempt to harm me. Elsewhere, perhaps, but not here.
What?
This is my home, Azazel, my place of power. This is the heart of the dreaming. Reality here conforms to my wishes. It is what I wish it to be, no more, no less.
Morpheus, unharmed, stands calmly on the platform in his great hall. He holds in both hands a round glass bottle with a large cork sealing its contents, a black nothingness of mouths and eyes. The imprisoned demon, Azazel.
You have displeased me, Azazel, and in light of your actions, it was extremely unwise of you to reject my hospitality.
Morpheus carries the globe bottle to a large wooden chest. He opens the lid. Inside is a curious collection of artifacts and relics. There's a small, square, leather-bound box, a ring, a coin, and an old-fashioned pocket watch. There is also a human skull, possessing two mouths with tiny teeth where its eye sockets should be.
I trust that this will teach you better manners, little demon. Now, does anyone else in this place have a problem with my decision?
The thwarted supplicants for the key of hell have watched Morpheus defeat and imprison a foe they would struggle to contain. The Merkin has raised a hand to her face. Chlorican has put his arm around his sister's shoulder. Little Jemmy is grinning. Only Loki does not react. He is nowhere to be seen. No one has noticed this, because no one is looking at where he ought to be.
Good. I will see each of you in the outer lobby then, to say... goodbye.
And so Morpheus bids his guests goodbye, according to their affiliations.
Honored host, my master has vouchsafed a final communication for you.
The genie reaches into the empty cardboard box that is its master and reads from the note which is manifested there.
Dream. Your decision was just and orderly. As such, though I regret it, I cannot fault it, Kilderkin.
Thank you, Lord Kilderkin. Your understanding is appreciated. I wish you well.
Shivering Jemmy, the Princess of Chaos, carries something which floats on the end of a piece of string. It is not a balloon. It is a fish, swimming happily in the air above her.
People. Cardboard boxes. Nobody clever these cardboard boxes.
So, I take it that I have incurred the wrath of Chaos from now until the end of time? You said, if I recall, from the Shivering Brigade to the Laughing Dancers.
Really? Oh, that! I just made that stuff up. We didn't want it. We just didn't want anyone else to get it. Anyway, thank you for having me at your party, Mr. Dreamy. I had a lovely time.
Ah, noble demons. Corazon and the Merkin, mother of spiders. Where do you go now?
For there is a line already forming outside the gates of hell. We will join it, and when the gates are opened, we will return there.
Morpheus, Lord Azazel, what will you do with him? What will you do to him?
Do to him? Why, nothing. I shall merely give him time to reflect and the opportunity to mend his manners. I expect I shall eventually let him out in a millennium or so. Goodbye.
We will return to our own land then, Dream King.
Ah, Lords Anubis and Bess.
Nice meeting you,
Lady Bast.
I'm sorry we were unable to come to an agreement, old friend.
My brother desires privacy, Lady Bast, and I am prepared to respect that desire.
It is well, but if you change your mind, then come to me, and we can talk further.
Lord Odin, I regret that I was forced to reject your offer.
Aye, you're sorry. Yeah, well, you are still welcome in my Hall of Gladsheim, Shaper. My house is yours. And my mead and meat are at your disposal.
I appreciate that, Odin Allfather. Fare you well, and you too, Thor. I trust you enjoyed yourself.
I hope I was not too boisterous last night, Lord. I'm a bluff, rough and ready. Take me as you find me, deity. I'm no one for your airs and graces.
Yes, I had noticed. And Loki, will he not say goodbye? Must you keep your hand over his mouth, Thor?
Well, the trickster seems unwilling to return to Asgard, Shaper.
Ow! It bit me!
No, you do not understand. This is wrong.
Shut up! Oh, I've been wanting to do that for 1,200 years. I'll carry him. Trick your way out of that, trickster. Time to go back in your hole.
Hey, boss.
Yes, Matthew.
Lord Clurican and Lord Susano have both asked if they can stay an extra day. I think they want to talk to you some more. Is that okay?
Oh, good. Yes, tell the servants to see that they are fed and cared for. I will talk to them later.
No problem. Hey, how does it feel not to have the key to hell anymore?
It feels like a great weight has been taken from my shoulders, Matthew. It is an evil thing, that key. It corrupts by simply existing. I am well rid of it.
Well, it's a good thing it went to those angels then. I mean, they won't be corrupted by it, will they?
I'm going to my quarters, Matthew. I have one final task for you, and then you may return to Eve's cave.
Sure.
Go to the woman Nada. I have assigned the fashion thing to groom and tend her. They are in the east wing. Tell her that I request her company for dinner tonight. Tell her that we need to talk.
Right. I'll tell her you...